Welcome to Scribe Session. Here, Enquirer Bengals beat writers Joe Reedy and Paul Daner Jr. escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily. All with the sidecar of sarcasm and musical interludes you've come to expect. Let's go.
Let's get the ready to run, Paul!
Burst up the middle of the field, look out. Reedy's off to the races.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Scribe Session. Of course, I'm Paul Daner Jr. here with you, along with Bengals beat writer Joe Reedy. Joe, how are we doing? Welcome to the postseason.
We've been waiting 52 weeks for this, Paul.
Yeah, you and me and everyone else in this building have been waiting to get back to this point. It feels like the whole season has sort of been almost like one long preseason, waiting to see how this team will do once they get back to this spot. Will it be the same old, or will it be something new? Of course, on Sunday, Bengals beat the Ravens 34-17. Despite four interceptions by Andy Dalton, the defense scores again. Their fifth touchdown in the last five home games. They've been on a roll. They ended up finishing the year third overall and really did a great job of limiting all of the poor positions they were put in. Two interceptions and a punt that really was basically a turnover. Nearly kicked backwards. Went 10 yards in total, landed in the lap of a season ticket holder. Sean Powell, not exactly the strongest of showings there. It was basically three turnovers basically put in their lap in the red zone, and or not in the red zone, but in their own side of the field, and only three field goals. At the end of the day, that kind of ends up being the difference in the game.
Yeah, and you know, when we looked at Baltimore, really since the Super Bowl, we said that the identity was going to be offense. And last three Ravens games, two offensive touchdowns, including one on Sunday. Defense, you know, Baltimore's defense played okay in the three games. Not great. Definitely not great against New England. But when they had a chance late in the year, got a little bit of a run of momentum and couldn't get it done. You could say the same thing about Miami. And all of a sudden, look at the San Diego Chargers.
Unbelievable. That's what ends up happening after all of the insanity of the final day of the NFL. And boy, does anything prove that the NFL just has the entire world wrapped around their finger, like the way that the final weekend played out of the regular season? I mean, everybody's got something on the line. The Steelers are undoubtedly their fans have to be sitting there watching that Chargers-Chiefs game in absolute disbelief. How many poor puppies in the Pittsburgh area were kicked when Ryan Succop shanks and misses the game-winning field goal that would have sent the Steelers to Cincinnati? Instead, it's the Chargers that end up finding a way, despite the penalty that should have been called, the referees deciding that forward momentum had stopped even though the guy was continuing to move forward and the ball was ripped out and the Chiefs could have run that one back for a touchdown.
Illegal formation on the field goal, yeah. Which for the Steelers, how it comes down to a special teams play.
Fitting.
Karma?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Sarah Huber, Kevin Huber's older sister, had to be doing a couple fist pumps, and I'm sure Kevin, after probably his 15th smoothie of the day, had to be doing a fist pump, too, that it came down to special teams. And Shooter McGavin on Twitter with the classic photo yes. at the
at the McGavin end of face.
Yes.
And Kevin Huber's, smoothies came in his brand new Pittsburgh Steelers blender that he was given to by his family for Christmas, which I thought was one of the funniest tweeted things I saw all week. So let's get into it. Sunday, 1:00, Paul Brown Stadium, Bengals Chargers, wild card round.
However, we do have a theme for this week's game. Let's cue up the theme song.
Yes, let's cue up the theme song. Some of you might recognize that. I don't know if a huge portion of our fan base does, but they should now. That is, in fact, the theme to All My Children. Why are we playing the theme to All My Children, you might ask yourself? And that's an excellent question. It is because, Joe, Marvin Lewis has, in the past, compared himself to one Susan Lucci, has he not?
Yes.
And why has he done that?
Well, 0-4. 0-4 in the playoffs could be a...
Susan Lucci, renowned for never quite winning.
Until her 19th attempt.
Until her 19th attempt. Bengals fans hope it doesn't take until the 19th attempt for Marvin Lewis to break through and win his version of the Daytime Emmy. But this will be the latest opportunity. And boy, you couldn't have set it up more perfectly for them to do so against a very, very, I'll do the third, very beatable Chargers team in a place where you are 8-0 this year. They have to feel very good about their chances. But let's be honest. At about 4:30 on Sunday, one of two songs or one of two things will be happening. The first one goes a little something like this.
And the outstanding diva is... The streak is over, Susan Lucci!
Originated the role of Erica Kane on All My Children when the show premiered in 1970. This is her first win in 19 nominations.
Susan Lucci finally breaking through to receive her first Daytime Emmy Award. Do you think that's how the post-game press conference will go? Do you think that there everyone will stand and applaud and he'll come up in tears and, hold up his wild card round sign or something like that? I mean, will there be any pomp and circumstance?
Now, there'll probably be a slapping of me in the front row.
Well, you got to get the railroad out of the way.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Well, so that is one thing that could happen. We could get this the Susan Lucci reception of tears and ticker tape.
Which, if he does win, because he's one game over 500 now, this would put him 2 over .500. Yeah. You lose to New England the following week. At least he's over 500 after 11 years.
Yes.
And doesn't join Weeb Eubank as the only head coaches in NFL history to coach 11 years with one team and finish 500 or worse.
A sentence you never want to hear in regards to you, joins Weeb Eubank.
However, Weeb did win a Super Bowl with the Jets. Finished 500 with the Jets, but he did win a Super Bowl in a couple playoff games.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe he does want to join Weeb Eubank. So we have the one option of what could happen. Or, if the Bengals were to somehow lose to the San Diego Chargers on Sunday.
Which, let's put it this way, Paul. Let's look at all the years the Chargers were favored to win a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
and didn't.
Yeah.
And then when they were lightly regarded, 1994, and they went to the Super Bowl. They're about 7-point underdogs right now.
Yeah.
Which means upset probabilities are high, which, let's just say the Bengals lose.
Let's just say the Bengals lose as the Paul Brown Stadium gates open and people funnel out into the streets. I imagine the streets will sound a little something like this. Take it, Attila. Unadulterated rage and anger, as I think Attila properly puts forward there.
Which I'm surprised you didn't play this underneath my rant last week.
They would have, this right here would have sounded great underneath your rant from last week, which in case anyone has not, I recommend you go back to the Christmas edition of the podcast. Go to about the 40-minute mark. Pop some popcorn and kick your feet up and listen to Joe lose his mind for 5 minutes discussing the Cleveland Browns. But we will not go there yet. Let's just be honest here. This is a game the Bengals should win. They are 8-0 at home. They've been rolling everyone there. They're winning by an average of 34-17 at home this year. They just beat the Chargers. The Chargers barely could beat Chase Daniel and number 32 for the Chiefs, whoever they had playing in there. This is a game the Bengals should win. It is a layup to get that monkey of the first playoff win since 1990 off this franchise's back if they blow it. And if Andy Dalton plays poorly and Marvin Lewis blows a couple of challenges, it will be chaos and riots in the streets. Probably.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's what's on the line. You have a room full of people in tuxedos giving you a standing ovation, or you have complete riots in the streets.
And
that's what's on the line. That's the playoffs. That's that. But that's it. That's the deal.
And to quote Bruce Coslett, deservedly so.
Deservedly so. They have the track record puts you in this position where is this much pressure. We've talked about it all year. I mean, we have talked about this since the first podcast, the first Beyond Stripes, the first story since the day last year ended, and since the day that they drafted Giovanni Bernard and Tyler Eifert and all the pieces came together. You got to win a playoff game, and that's really how this season will be judged one way or the other. You either got over the hump and found a way to win in the postseason, or you didn't. And that is, you know, for all the good that has happened, it means nothing when this team arrived on Monday. When they started planning for the Chargers, 11-5 didn't mean squat.
They know at home doesn't nothing, mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything, because if they end up 8-1 at home, this year is a failure, and some people are going to have to start looking around the building and figure out why this is happening. That's it.
To quote Mercury Morse after the Patriots' loss in the Super Bowl to the Giants, the undefeated season, it's not about the 18. It's the one.
It's the one. You're absolutely right. It is the one. And so that's where we're at. But here's the interesting thing about this team. And we've seen this all year. We talked a little bit about this. There's just a feel that this team is different. They look, they play, they sound, and they act differently than even last year's Bengals, or really any that we've seen in the recent history of the Marvin Lewis era.
Well,
I wasn't around for 05, but I think 05 probably had a bit of that. But
well, 05, it was new.
Right.
There was that new factor and how they handled it in following seasons. They couldn't handle success. 09, I think they made too many changes and got away from what they were in 10 when you started.
Mm-hmm.
11, completely surprised people, got to the playoffs. Good first goal.
Yeah, I mean, that was a year where they were happy to be there.
Yeah.
They made the playoffs. That was a success with Dalton and Green as rookies. The complete reboot. It was success the day that they made it.
Yeah, last year building on 11 back-to-back playoff appearances, first time in 30 years, first time in non-strike seasons.
But they still had an offense that was eh.
Yes.
I mean, there was
but you build on it,
right?
Because let's face it, Marvin teams in the past completely fell down the stretch in 06. And 10, the bottom completely fell out. So you built, you're starting to stack years together to where this year, I mean, you know, when people were asking me back in July, and I've said it throughout, and I still believe this. They won the division. Great. It's happened two other times here when Marvin was here. You go one and out, season's a failure. Plain and simple.
Yep.
It's a failure. You can't go, well, Leon Hall and Geno Atkins were out. They finished third in the league in defense.
Yeah, this team is too well-rounded. They've done too many good things. It would mean that outside elements of some sort crept up because they talent-wise, location, everything about it, there's no reason that they should lose this game outside of the playoff monkey. It was on people.
Or
Dalton turnovers or whatever, which is really your primary concern with this team right now.
You managed to win by 17 without any tight ends, with an offensive line that was a mash unit.
While turning it over really five times with four picks and one punt in the stands.
Yes. And it was tied at 17 at the middle of the third quarter, and you put a hell of a drive together.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton was 5 of 5 on that drive. But he got graded real low on the what-the-hell interception
right. In
the fourth quarter, which you would hope in the playoffs you don't do something stupid like that. Okay, I'm not getting the look I'm looking for. You know what? I'm calling timeout.
Yeah.
Which, if it wasn't for Marvin's stupid replay challenge, honorable mention. I don't know if this cracked the top 10 or not.
Cracked the top 10, NFL Network top 10, Marvin Lewis top 10 god-awful replay challenges.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's quite a stacked list. It takes a pretty god-awful replay challenge to crack that list of 10 right now.
Yes.
But that was up there.
Yes, it's up there. It might get mentioned in the best of the rest.
Yeah.
But
it was almost like he was warming up a little bit for
yes. The
playoffs, where he's made some of his most egregious.
Oh.
We don't need to recap some of those.
No, we really don't. You just hope that
Bengals fans know what they are.
They got all that out of their system yesterday with that bad replay challenge.
So kind of along the lines of discussing how this team may be different. A little bit of that feeling from what guys were saying about the playoffs following Sunday's game. I want to particularly trot out, as we often do on the podcast, Andrew Whitworth and Chris Crocker, both sort of talking about how this team has a different feel and some of the ways that they are approaching this playoffs. Maybe that it feels different than in the past. So here's Andrew Whitworth and Chris Crocker after the game.
I told the guys in the tunnel before we were in after the tunnel, this game wasn't about going 8-0. It was about demanding respect. And we're a good football team, but we don't have any respect yet. Not nationally and not in our division yet. As this team gets better and better, which we have every time we step out, we got to start demanding teams respect us. And so this is a great day to come out and be able to do that.
How much does winning a playoff game get you that kind of respect that you
want? I mean, just really from the team you play. I mean, you know, the truth is every time you play these teams, whether it's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, or Cleveland, you have to go out with the attitude to earn it. And, sometimes when teams start to wish things to happen their way in this league, just because they're who they are, they've won whatever they've won, they don't have much success with it. And we find that out all the time. And so you have to go out every single week and earn the respect you want.
Any of this carry over 8-0 at home to have a playoff game at home?
Oh, for sure. This team's continued to defend home well and play really well here. It's been a tough place, you know, right now for teams to, you know, stay in all the way through four quarters. And so, that's important for us to keep up.
Since that Houston playoff game, a lot of people have been looking
towards this time right now? Now that you're here, confidence, nervous, or just what's the feeling?
I think this is the best we've ever felt going in. And, you know, I've said for 3 years now to y'all that every time we step on the field, we've been a little bit better. And you can see it now in our record. 9-7, 10-6, and now 11-5. And so every time this team has gotten a chance, it's gotten better. And now we just cleared another hurdle that we had yet to clear this year, and that was having a bad first quarter and winning a football game. And so to be able to do that the way we did today, it's another thing to check off the list. And so there's no reason this team should not have confidence in any situation. We've played with the lead. We've played from behind now. We've done it all. And so we've played all the great quarterbacks, too. So we need to enter these playoffs as confident as can be and go play that way.
Or despite four turnovers, you guys still win by double digits.
Exactly. So that's the kind of day you have to have.
I mean, Andy didn't have a great day, but he won.
That's all that matters. You know, like I've told y'all before, stats are the most misleading thing in football. Wins are the only thing that freaking matter. And I told him when the clock was winding down that, you know, I said, hey, man, 25 years, nobody's gone 8-0 at home. You can take four interceptions. Somebody will forget that in 5 minutes. But what they will never be able to say is another quarterback in the last 25 years has gone 8-0 in Paul Brown Stadium. So
that's, you know, what you told him?
Yeah. And, I mean, you wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. And I told him, because you wouldn't trade not having any interceptions for that is why you're who you are.
Yeah, we fuss at them all the time, but we do. You know, everybody fusses, and you know, we try to motivate them guys. They get on us, you know, because most of the time when we let people, you know, in the ball games, it's self-inflicted. You know, whether we throw an interception or we leave a guy wide open on defense, you know, we feel like we give the offense, you know, we give up points. It's just our mistake. And the offense, if they get a three and out, you know, it's because of something that they did. It's self-inflicted. And we try to motivate each other, because I think a lot of our guys, everybody, you know, we hold each other accountable. And that's what good teams do.
How do you feel about this team heading to the playoffs?
I feel good. I feel good. I mean, you know, it's to have the momentum and just to, you know, the score didn't really depict what kind of game it was today. I mean, we really played our butts off defensively. And the best defenses win in the playoffs. So we feel really good. We're a confident group of guys. Trust me. I mean, we're going to each and every game, you know, knowing what the opponent likes to do, and we try to take that away.
One of those things for this time of year, how games look, whether it was perfectly played, really doesn't mean it's all about,
yeah,
about wins.
It is.
Now.
It's really about win or go home. You don't care how you win. It doesn't have to be pretty. You just need to win. I mean, that's the goal. Win and win and keep playing and you know, get to New York.
Feel as confident with this team going into the playoffs as you have any time?
Yeah, I feel better. I feel better about this team going to the playoffs than I ever have, because, I mean, when we show up and we want to play, I mean, we're hard to beat. We're really hard to beat. And in years past, you know, like we squeaked in, you know, last year, we squeaked in the year before that, you know, but we ran in the playoffs this year. Like to come out 11-5, that's really tough. That's hard. People, you know, you don't just win 11 games by getting lucky.
Whitworth talked about demanding respect. We as media types love asking respect questions. And if you feel like the national media is respecting you and this, that, or the other, players rarely go for that, nor do they really don't care much about talking about it. To hear Whit talk openly about demanding respect and say, I demand that, you know, we need to go take it, and people aren't respecting us, and that's it's kind of a different feel. But I think the bigger thing is that all the thoughts of the playoff futility and everything else wearing on them, you just don't see that. It doesn't seem to really phase them much. They have had their eyes on getting to New York since day one, and these milestones that you and I have wasted countless hours talking about winning a playoff game and taking the next step and season being success and failure, they really don't get into any of that. It really doesn't seem to faze them on any of that. They have New York on the mind, and that's really all that matters to them. And I think that's a different attitude.
Yeah, but nationally, you got to win a playoff game. You win a playoff game, the dialogue changes, where all of a sudden you go into New England where you held Tom Brady in check and you go, you know what, this this could be an interesting game in Foxborough.
I, you know, and I've said this for a while now. I think your prediction was AFC title game this year. Congratulations, by the way, on the 11-5 prediction.
Second straight year.
Second straight year. You nailed the record, which is pretty impressive.
Missed on the second seed, though. Very, very disappointing.
Close. If it weren't for the Fighting Fads,
For the Bills special team unit stopping LeGarrette,
we could have had a week off.
It's a monsoon. How do you not stop LeGarrette Blount?
When did LeGarrette Blount get to the point where they had him returning kicks? By the way, obviously it worked for them, but he's not skinny.
No,
I mean he is the anti Cordarrelle Patterson. I guess in a monsoon, he's the perfect type of guy to do it, apparently. But, yeah, we were that close to having not a week off, but a very easy week this week compared to what we do have, which is a loaded week of all coverage.
At least it's Sunday, though.
Yes, we do have the normal week, so we don't have to shove it all into an extra day. Here's the thing. I mean, it's one of those things where, hey, it's set up, I think, nicely for them, where if they get the win and get that winning in the playoffs thing out of the way, you're playing very loose in Foxborough and against a team that you've beat. And I just see the AFC as way more wide open. Everyone, because of the history, wants to give it as Brady and Manning is an inevitable conclusion in the AFC title game. I just don't view it that way. I don't think the results the last month of the season, or even 2 months of the season, have bear that out. I think Denver showed to have loopholes, and New England's been squeaking by every single week.
But here's
and the Bengals have clearly the best defense in the AFC. It's not even close. If defense still matters, and that's a big question. If defense still matters in the postseason, the Bengals are a team to be reckoned with.
But if Indy beats Kansas City, independent, and if the Bengals win, Indy goes to Denver, where, and I know we were all driving back from Detroit as Indy and Denver was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Indy's defense did a hell of a job containing Manning in that offense and really has the blueprint to shutting them down. That becomes an interesting little chess match. And
8-1 and duns for Peyton Manning in the postseason.
Not and you're facing your former team. Granted, it is in Denver, but you're facing your former team. The 8-1 and duns, most of them have been at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's
an interesting matchup. And really, even if Kansas City ended up winning and going in there, great, they feel better against Kansas City. They have beaten them twice. They're familiar. But beating them the third time is always a challenge. And just that thing that seems to happen to Peyton Manning in the playoffs, you just wonder about it. And then you're facing the opportunity to earn an AFC title game at Paul Brown Stadium, where you would then be 9-0 if you could pull that off. I mean, that's an ideal scenario. But bottom line is, I don't think anybody is any more a favorite than anybody else. And I think the Manning, Brady, Denver, New England narrative as what it's all about in the AFC right now is a false one.
Yeah.
And I think anybody could go in. I mean, the Bengals could very easily lose any of those games, but you look at the way that they've been playing, they're the most well-rounded team in the playoffs. I mean, you have two top 10 units. I mean, you've got the number one overall defense. It's as far as the AFC goes, you are as well set up as anybody, and this team has played very well against teams that have great offenses and struggling defenses. It fits perfectly because Mike Zimmer's defense has been able to shut down just about everyone and really particularly slow these prolific quarterbacks. And the offense needs a little help with an advantageous matchup, and they've been able to take advantage of a lot of those. So if you look at that, I think it does set up well. Brady and Belichick in Foxborough in January is brutal on many, has been, but I think it's as good a setup without getting the bye that this team could have asked for.
And I mean, you just look at the wild card schedule; it's a hell of a weekend. Indy Kansas City is going to be a good matchup. Saints-Eagles with Chip Kelly and Rob Ryan, that defense and stopping things. And then we got this game here on Sunday. And to top it off, we got Green Bay and San Francisco. Which
you talk about a scary thing. If you're San Francisco, you've played so well. You now have to go to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers back and Randall Cobb back, suddenly healthy. That's a scary problem. Green Bay is a scary team to me in the NFC. I don't think people are giving them much attention because of what they've been through. But listen, you throw Aaron Rodgers into the mix. I mean, their defense has struggled this year, but so what? With Aaron Rodgers, you like them against anybody now that he's healthy. I mean, that's going to be – they're a scary team at the back, and the NFC is loaded.
I'm still going to go with my preseason pick. I'm still going to have the Niners winning it all.
Yeah.
I think the Niners are surging at the right time. I like that linebacking unit with Bowman and mm-hmm. and all those guys, mm-hmm. Willis. Kaepernick, I think, has got stuff together, and I think the fact that they beat Seattle – a couple weeks ago bodes pretty well for them that all of a sudden Niners and Seahawks that first week in the divisional.
Yeah, setting up. Yeah, to be a monster matchup.
I mean, all of a sudden Carolina could be...
There's a lot happening there. Yeah. I mean, really, you could look at almost anybody. But, I mean, at the end of the day, for Bengals fans... this is going to come down to, it's the referendum on Andy Dalton more so than anybody.
It's on
everybody.
Yeah, it's a referendum on Marvin too because, they're 11-5, but I mean Marty Schottenheimer was fired after going 14-2 many years ago in San Diego because he didn't have postseason success.
Who's less likely to be here in 2 years if the Bengals lose in the playoffs again? Marvin, Andy.
Maybe Marvin, because we don't want to delve too far ahead.
Right.
But Marvin will be entering the last year of his contract in 2014. He will be beginning his 12th season. If you extend, it will probably be just for another 2 years again. That you just start to wonder, how long do you want to stay? And it becomes an interesting dynamic that way.
But this, it seems to me, this organization has bought into Andy Dalton despite the criticism, and really. The turnovers are the only thing that you can knock about Dalton at this point. I mean, I think the rest of it really doesn't hold much water, but the turnovers very much do. You can't throw that many picks. That's something he's got to work on. But the guy set the franchise mark for touchdowns and yards in a season and has led them to 30 wins in 3 years. Now, the playoff thing, you've got to figure that out. But that all plays into the turnover aspect. We shall see.
But I also look at some expiring contracts in 15. Leon Hall, Andrew Whitworth, Kyle Cook.
They'd have to invest a lot of money in Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Reggie Nelson's deal expires at the end of 2014. We're starting to come to the point where you're starting to go beyond 14 and 15 and see how this unit is going to start developing. And do you add years on to Leon this offseason but renegotiate the deal for some salary reduction purposes? Whitworth will be 10 years after 15. Pecco's deal expires at the end of 14. There's a lot. You're trying for that next generation to sew up a lot of guys, but, and this is for another podcast at another time, expiring deals and deals coming up the next year or two start to become interesting. This isn't a great Bengals free agent class coming up.
Yeah.
But, it starts getting real interesting starting in a year or two.
Yeah, I think what I'm saying is the what I'm hearing most throughout this team is that they're in on Dalton. They've seen enough. They've seen enough. This year was enough. Regardless of what happens in the first round of the playoffs, get on board because this is where they're going.
Phil Simms said that on Friday.
Right. They are on the Andy Dalton bus. So the only thing is, the only thing that could derail the train is if the playoff disappointments that we've seen the first two times continue to happen. That's why, and Kenny Loggins would tell you, that this weekend is the danger zone. Without Kenny Loggins.
We just went right into that.
Just do it. Hit it.
But however,
just hit the danger zone. We got to ride with it.
However, continuing the Kenny Loggins theme,
we've got more Kenny Loggins.
Yes. This is what Andy and Marvin were singing during their press conference on Sunday. Take it away from Caddyshack. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it?
Loggins part two. That's a Kenny Loggins twofer here on the Scribe Session podcast.
Which, since this comes out on Tuesday, it's a two for Tuesday.
It's a two for Tuesday. How about that? It's really interesting. We had Marvin in the post-game press conference on Sunday when the questions persisted about Andy Dalton's quote-unquote performance. And the four interceptions, and there are a lot of questioning of throws and play calls, and are you afraid of how this is going to lead in? He eventually just kind of had enough. Let's give you that. I want to roll out here the end of the press conference, which turned into a Marvin Lewis walk-off. As he got done, he walked off the podium, did everything except drop the mic. Here's Marvin Lewis at the end on Sunday.
Mark, what's up?
Feel great about where Andy is, you know. He just keeps playing and is really unflappable, and he's in a good spot as we move forward. And we gotta, you know, we all have to go coach better and play better as we move forward, all of us.
Is he any better equipped to handle a performance like that going to the postseason than he might have been a year ago, 2 years ago?
I don't know. You're evaluating the performance. We won the football game by 2 or 3 scores. I feel good about that.
The best part about that, Joe, is the JB2 clap at the end. You know, Marvin says his point, and JB, who anybody that has followed Hard Knocks or anything with the Bengals knows, is the man that pretty much – he organizes a lot of the – he is always the guy that brings them up to do the Who Day and runs out first out of the tunnel. JB is always in every press conference with Marvin. He's kind of giving the yes and the go get him. So anytime he says something, it gets after reporters. After the walk-off, JB gives the double clap. It just really kind of put a great exclamation point on it.
Kind of like the golf clap.
Yeah.
However, notice it wasn't me.
Yeah, how about that?
However, we got to bring in Lizzie Hale again this week. We do have the
We do have a railroad. I know everybody loves the Reedy Railroad, so we got to make sure we get to that. I like that kick. Already been run over once in the Sunday press conference, which came, which was the line of questioning about the much talked about first in goal 1 yard fade to AJ Green, and it brought out Marvin again. And notice the topic is always revolving around Andy Dalton and protecting of Andy Dalton. Really has Marvin kind of standing up and getting a little agitated this time, shockingly, at you. So here's Marvin.
You know, you talked about the turnovers and everything, but up 10 there in the fourth quarter, first and goal at the one, why throw it?
Well, you know, the quarterback has things to do based on looks, and so, you know, he made the determination, so.
So he checked in on that one?
Yeah, we make the decisions we make, and, you know, last week we scored touchdowns on those plays, and they were great plays, weren't they? So.
Which, here's the thing. Let's look at the AFC quarterbacks in this field, and I kind of touched on it during Monday's column, which if you guys haven't gotten post-game on Monday, Paul Daner Jr. with the game story.
Yes.
Me being Doc.
Playing the columnist, because we were Doc absent this week, yes. And will be again on Monday. Oh, that's why, you won't be hearing this, but Monday night we had Beyond the Stripes. We will be back on Tuesdays next week, following whatever the result is of the Bengals game on Sunday. We will be back Tuesday, 7 o'clock at the Moorline Lager House, so make sure you come down and check that out.
Win or lose, Andrew Whitworth.
Andrew Whitworth will be with us, so you don't have to only always hear him on the podcast. Yes. From us. He will come down and join us. Should be excellent. He's fantastic,
yes.
As you know.
Well, let's look at the quarterbacks. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Andrew Luck, and Alex Smith has a playoff win. And then we have Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith and Andy Dalton are the two most lightly regarded quarterbacks in the AFC field. And what is a stacked quarterback field? Mm-hmm. And the only way you're going to get respect is to go out and win it. And let's face it. Andy needs this. Jay Gruden needs a good offensive game.
This weekend could mean jobs for Mike Zimmer and Jay Gruden. And we won't go into that. There's plenty of time for us to do that whenever this season ends. But a run in the playoffs will mean a job for Mike Zimmer, I guarantee it. And it could mean a job for Jay Gruden. I mean, if this team makes a run deep, don't you think Zim would then get the look that he deserves?
He should. Hopefully it comes in Tampa again after Mark Domenech, the GM, has now been fired along with Schiano.
Mm-hmm.
Two names to watch with Jay Gruden, Detroit and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Which
Jay and Zim could be going against each other for a job, possibly. Interesting.
Interesting, but how interesting would that be that a Gruden gets hired in Tampa Bay again?
The other Gruden.
Yes.
Very. That is something to watch, so we'll keep an eye on that. Well, we've got to wrap it up here. Listen, you don't need us to tell you any more about how big this is. Hopefully the game ends up on television here locally. A lot of tickets still to be
Mayor
sold.
Mayor Streetcar is at the press conference on Monday.
Oh, how about that? Mr. Cranley's going to be in the house.
His honor.
Yes, fresh off eating crow on Inquirer.com following the Streetcar vote going the wrong way against him. But, we want to make sure y'all keep coming back, because we're not stopping. We're not going to be done, regardless what happens as well. This podcast will be up Tuesday morning next week as well, so keep checking in for those. Cincinnati.com, game day, post game. We're going to have a special little treat for you, I believe, this week as well. Maybe a little Beyond the Stripes extra you should keep an eye out for. There'll be plenty of coverage coming to you everywhere, everything you want to know about the Bengals, so make sure you check that out.
However, since this is the last podcast of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get a little wistful and sentimental going into the new year.
Yeah, you're softy. Remember, we've established that. The one thing we established in 2013 was the year that Joe Reedy, he softened up a little.
Damn it, I'm not soft.
Well, anybody that listened last week knows that you're still a little gristled.
Let's go with a little Dan Fogelberg, Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go on. So, because we have to wish everyone a happy new year. And, you know, as we said here last week, we wish y'all Merry Christmas.
We love you guys.
We do love you. We especially love everyone who listens to the podcast. We have so much fun doing it. And really hope you keep listening to us as well through all of 2014, because we don't plan on stopping. So thanks to everybody for listening to the Scribe Session. We will see you back next week. Hopefully it's not chaos in the streets, or that everyone survives if it is. So have a good night.
Take care.
She didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we cried. Stood there lost in our embrace.
As I turn to make my way back.